Willkommen zum Faster You Podcast, wo sich alles um Ausdauersport und Training dreht. Hier geben euch Sebastian Schlurike, Björn Kafka und Niklas Hanker wertvolle Tipps und Einblicke, die euch helfen, eure Performance auf das nächste Level zu bringen. Okay, hello to a new podcast episode from Faster You Podcast. Today with Björn and special guest Hans Becking.
Welcome, Hans.
Hello, welcome. Welcome. Thank you very much for having me in the podcast.
Oh, thank you for joining us. So, first of all, for you that don't know Hans, maybe Hans, you give like a brief introduction who you are.
Well, I'm a marathon mountain biker. I do these things for already a long, long time. I'm becoming 39 next year, so I've been racing since I was 18. I did a lot of cross-country stuff, World Cups, and then the last 10 years I'm focusing more on marathons and stage racing. And yeah, I was a kid that dreaming to have his life becoming a mountain biker, and I made it, and I'm at the moment just living my dream and still traveling the world doing races. And I'm a Dutch guy born of living in Belgium at the moment, if I'm not traveling the world and enjoying life, that's me.
Yeah. Okay. You are 3 times national champ in marathon, right?
Yeah.
And also cross-country.
Cross-country. Yes, cross-country as well. Yeah, that's a longer time ago, but yeah.
Before Milan Bada was racing.
And exactly, yeah. And Van der Poel also.
There's another.
He's also Dutch.
And then, one of your biggest highlights was the Epic last year, I think. With the leading jersey, some stage wins, and a podium at the end. And this is more or less a topic today. We like to talk about the Epic because Hans Becking is not doing the Epic. Why not?
Well, because I'm not fit enough at the moment. I'm lucky we have a team of 5 super strong man riders, and if one don't have the shape or have some troubles, that's me, and I'm a bit behind on training because I was sick in December, but we are on a good way now with training, and I am at the Epic at the moment, but I won't be racing. I will see it from the sideline, so that's cool.
Yes. At the Epic, I think, how many stages do you want?
In total, I won 6 stages. So when I was here in 2023 or 22 with the 22 with the COVID, we did it in October, and then with Jose Diaz, we were on a really good flow, and we won from the last part of the Epic, like the second part, we won 3 stages, and then last year with Wout, we won 2. So yes. In total, it's 5, not 6. Total, we win 5 stages. Yeah.
Okay. Perfect. Yeah, I still remember the. Of course, the one with Wout, but also with the one with Jose, and you had a lot of flat tires. I remember that.
Yeah, the beginning of the week.
It was always like, oh, they are very strong, but the tires will help.
Yeah, but you have bad luck sometimes. That's the Epic, eh?
Yeah. So, but you are now down there in South Africa. What are you doing there if you don't race?
Well, we are with the team, we are like a small family, and the plan was for me always to be here, and we also have our girls racing here, and then because we decided, you and me and the team, that I'm not doing the Epic this year, the flight was booked, and then it's like, okay, if you can train 2 weeks in South Africa and or stay in cold Belgium, for me was a decision to also to support the team. And also to see the race from the other side, which I'm really excited to do. For example, tomorrow we have the Songo Champion Race, which is for charity, a race in the township. And normally these things don't fit in your schedule. And I was super curious to do it. So I think, yeah, why not fly down and do my training here under the sun? Take the heat training hype, take it here and use it. And then support the team as well, and also see the race from another side. And I think also you can learn a lot of that from seeing other things that you won't see when you're racing. So I see it for me to grow a little bit and also start to understand races, Escape, Epic, how they work, and do my training, which is perfect here. So that's why I'm here.
Yeah. The race that Hans is doing is a charity race, a Songo race. I think it's Still, Christoph Sauser is organizing it, yeah, or
yes.
is the main figure behind it. And it's a quite unique race. It's through the township of Cape Town. And it's really amazing how many people are there, yeah? And it's usually people that you usually don't see at a race, yeah? So it's quite interesting. And it's a pretty tough race, now. So
it looks like 20 minutes full gas, so it will be a good long opener, and
yes.
I look really forward.
You have never done it?
I never done it, so that's what I say. Normally, we are like too focused on the Cape,
yeah.
and we want
yeah,
to
yeah.
save the race. And you know there, it's a different environment, and it's always better to stay away and focus on the Epic. But now it's perfect for trying it out and,
yeah.
and seeing this, doing these things.
So now questions that I maybe can answer myself, but we can discuss it. How to train for the Epic? Yeah, how to do it?
As it is 8 days, I think the base is one of the most important things.
Yeah.
To have a huge base with the volume that you can do 4 or 5 hours days like that. And then I think the VO2 max is one of the most important values here and the threshold, because you're pushing all the time from the gun. The Cape Epic before was always sometimes a bit more relaxed moment and some easier stages, but since now the Cape has become like everyday cross country races with really high power outputs. And yeah, how to train for it? Yeah, I think you can more say something behind. But for me as a rider, it feels that you're always building a pyramid. So we start with a lot of base rides, a lot of hours. So you have I always have the feeling that if I have to do like 4 hours easy and I have a good base, then we can start to build another layer. So we can go to fat max, longer intervals, then to VO2 max, and then start the fine tuning before the race. So basically for me, it looks like December, January, it's a lot of base miles, long hour, 5-6 hours, day by day. And then doing some tests and then see how I come out of the winter, what I take from the season before, and then do the fine tuning by intervals and specific work where it's lacking at the moment. So
yeah, this is why we are not doing the Epic now with you, because yeah, we lost some weeks due to illness. And yeah, you're right, yeah. And this is the hard part for especially European riders, doing a lot of kilometers, yeah. You, of course, travel a lot and can stay in warm places, but getting the miles in is always very important. And the Cape Epic is a race where marathon specialists clash on cross-country specialists and pretty good ones. And I think the first year when Nino won, I think it was with Stiernemann, yeah? Everyone yes. was pretty amazed how strong they were, yeah? And they were riding from the start, super high power, fast, and everyone was struggling, and everyone said, okay, they can't hold that pace for 8 days, but they did, yeah? And this is really how the race changed, and then later with guys, with Avancini, Fumic and all the other marathon specialists, cross-country specialists. So the training adapted over the years. I think a big role also plays now torque. So being able to push really, really big gears. The area is pretty rough sometimes. So yeah, and VO2 max, yeah, and trying to find the right mix to manage it, but the volume is key for this race. If you lose 3 weeks of training, it can be pretty nasty to get back in shape. Yeah,
you can build a pyramid, but you cannot build it super high. It's always how
yes.
hey, it's maybe a stupid like simple graphic, but in theory every year is the same, and if you miss some weeks in training, then you can build a
yes.
pyramid, but it's half the size than you want it to be. So
yeah,
so that's it. And I also think what you said about the torque in previous capes, there was like longer stages with 110K, with rough terrain, dry riverbeds, stuff like that. There, the torque was super, super important.
Mm-hmm.
I think the last 2 years it changed more to VO2 max, because it's like punchy climbs and started to be also very technical with a lot of single trails inside. So it's changing a bit, but yeah, it's the base miles is the key for surviving the 8 days. Without the base miles, like we spoke before as well, probably I can do a good cape, but not for 8 days. I will be fine for 3 days, but then with the lack of the base miles, I would just like slide down the hill instead of staying steady and recover well.
Yeah. The 1 year when I was at the Epic and helping the team Centurion VD, it was a mess because there were not enough people to help, and at the end I was alone there more or less. And I think the biggest problem for us was the nutrition, and especially being safe of not getting ill. Yeah, and with diarrhea and stuff like that. What kind of advantages are there at the Epic besides eating and other things?
What you have to take in mind, you mean, like what's yes. important yes. for recovery? Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I always try to have a routine that, like, when I come to the finish line, and maybe it's my mind, but I always like to have everything ready for the next day, and from that moment I can relax. So for me, when I, you know, after the finish line, you always have this high from the sensations, from sprinting to the finish line, from going full gas in the single track. It's like, I always try to use this energy to do a productive shower where you clean your shoes, your helmet, get the food in, and then try to have your massage or whatever, your siesta, and then you can also switch off your mind when everything is ready. Because I see a lot of riders before bedtime, they have to put on a number for the next day, look for their bars, their gels, like it's... For me, it's a bit harder personally, so I think that's super important. And yeah, try to stay cool. The temperature, it's the heat here, it's a big issue. So yeah, that's another thing, that if you have a good protocol for recovery day by day and you keep using it and try to save or try to gain so many time that you can relax, like to have so many quality time to really recover, it makes a huge difference. And I always try to focus on that as well, going day by day.
You have some routines with your food. So what's your favorite food during a stage race to eat these amounts of carbs?
Yeah, it's always, it's difficult for me to eat simple, but like I like to have some good food. But I think the most important is to eat very clean, just to stick with rice and some eggs and have just your protein in and try to avoid salads and this kind of stuff, which is maybe stand a little bit too long in the water, or it's more fragile for bacterial issues. So it's, and I also like just to eat things that you like, because if it's like something you don't really like to eat, like for example you don't like rice, it's difficult to get the carbs in from the rice. So if you prefer pasta, better stay with pasta or gnocchi or other kinds of stuff. So it's also try to eat what you like, it goes more easy like normal. So but no, for me, I'm not very special. I just like to have different food every day by day, so not every day the same, because then I get a bit angry or I get annoyed if it's quite simple. And yeah, try to avoid like sketchy stuff that are like dangerous for, or that also with like a lot of red meat is a stress for your stomach. So it's like you don't want to lose this energy in your stomach, and just get the carbs in and keep it simple and as much as you can. And for me, I cannot eat too much directly after the stage, so I always try to do small portions every 2 hours, or take a sandwich in the middle, or like every 2-3 hours we have a snack, and then because if you eat a lot in one time, it's also for me it feels like a struggle.
yeah.
Okay. Do you try to track your carbohydrates, what you eat after stage? That you have a like you try to eat 600 grams of carbs after the stage, or do you just do it by feeling and try to eat as much as you can?
We had the plan once with Bjorn also. He'd give me all the output and more or less calculate before. And then you try to get the carbs in, but what I realized is in these moments, the first day you do it, the second day you do it, and then the third day you got tired. And also you it feels like your body get more efficient. I feel like that I have to eat less food also inside the race, less gels and bars by the end of the week. Probably Bjorn is going to say that's not very good, but at one point your body starts to be super efficient in an 8 days race like this. So you feel like you're eating less, but I tried it, but it's super difficult because I think in the Cape you have to eat when you're hungry and when you want. So and then probably it will be enough. Your body will tell you if you eat too much or not enough.
Yeah, there are, this is it's really hard, and I think there's only one rider I can recall that is really eating every day very high amounts of food. Andy Seewald. It's crazy how much he's like the destroyer. But what you described is a classic, yeah? So VO2max is going down, VLAMAX is going down, so you're becoming more efficient. This is why you don't eat more, or don't have the sensation of eating more. And also in the race, you're eating a little bit less. So quite normal, yeah? Actually, you're becoming more efficient, but you also lose a little bit of VO2max. This is why you always need to eat a lot, Hans.
Yes, I know. Yeah, it's true. Yeah. But you know, it's difficult. You wake up.
Yes.
We start every day at 7 o'clock, and then you have to wake up at 5, and then like the first 3-4 days is fine, and then you wake up like a zombie, and then you have to eat this whole amount of rice or oatmeal or whatever you want to eat in the morning, and then it's like you start to not eat it. You just like swallow it and try to make it fast, because it's like your body is. Like your body and your gut don't want to spend energy to digest it, and you say, "No, yes. You'll be fine, just try it." So, but yeah, I know it's important, and I know I have to do better, but nobody's perfect.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think you do good.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, yes, very good.
What are your sorry?
Yeah. No, Niklas, please.
What are your thoughts about the tactics in the last years? I think when we saw the last races at the Epic, it were not just the pure power of riders, but also more a bit of tactics. What are your thoughts about this, and what do you think do you need to do to win the Cape Epic?
The easy answer is follow Mathieu Beers, but the long answer is to yeah, I think you have to manage really your efforts, what you do. It sounds a bit cheesy and easy to say, but everybody have this amount of bullets you can shoot the whole week, and you have to be really careful where you put your effort, and you have to say. And also, it's super difficult to predict before the race, like, oh, we're going to go fast in stage 4, and then stage 5, we're going to go easy. Because actually for me and Wout, the plan last year, for example, was to go really fast in the Queen stage, because I had a lot of climbing. We saw the stage before, big parts of it. So it was really good for us. And then finally we lost the yellow jersey and a lot of minutes. But in the Epic, it's like you have to take the opportunities. So you have to be smart, always be in a good position. Tactical is important to stay in the front. It helps a lot. Like Mathieu, he knows exactly where the single track starts and how long the single track is going to be. So if you enter in 20 position in the single track, you have to work so much harder. So if you have the knowledge, it would work. But tactic-wise, yeah, I think it's not too much tactics end of the day. In the beginning, try to stay in the front. And then the last hour, it's every team for itself. And then it comes down to managing your efforts and be smart all day. But yeah, for sure, like, yeah, there are not really tactics in forehand. Inside, in the race, the tactics always will play out, and there's a lot of dynamic with riding in with two persons. So for the sprints, and it's all very excited. But during the race, I think it's quite, it's not boring, but you have to adapt and about the circumstance you have. For example, your big opponent have a flat tire, yeah, then you know it's up to you to push, so it's nothing you can predict before the race. So,
yes, and okay. This is one thing you mentioned about a flat tire, avoiding problems on the bike. I mean, like, I've done the Epic, I don't know how many times now as a coach, never won it. I don't know how often I was on the second place, 6-7 times, I don't know, and someone got sick, or a frame was broken, or a shifting was not working anymore, or broken. So it really also comes down to that the bike, the whole material needs to be super, super, super good. You need to have a mechanic that is really, really good. You also need to be a very good mechanic as a rider. And also being in the moment the whole time in the race. Yeah. So if you're going downhill super fast, always staying concentrated, avoiding big rocks and things like that. So yeah, this is another thing that plays a big role in the epic, I think. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The funny thing, if you look to the big when like top riders went out of the race, what happened? If you look when it happened, if you look back very well, it always happens at really stupid moments. There's always stupid moments to have problems, and there are no smart crashes. But you know, it's always in the moment when the peloton, everybody's drinking and they get wiped out because there's a small ditch on the road and then they broke the collarbone. It's never when you are fully attacking. I never say never, but you never see big problems when the riders are on attack mode, because then the concentration is so high, they don't crash that much. It's many times that big problems happen when you are in the peloton and there's no attack and you are controlled in your overall GC, you have 5 minutes in front of the second team, you take time to relax, make jokes a bit, and this moment, many times the problems start, or you take a dirty line or something, and then things go south, and that's the thing with the epic, you have to be 8 days from the gun, super focused, like all the time. You have to put your concentration, see what are the people doing in the group, avoid rocks. When it's super dusty, it's super difficult to see your lines. So there also, it's a big part to be in front of the group. So it's all to survive the 8 days without a problem. It's like in really small decisions you have to make, and some people make them automatically, and some people you have to force to tell them and do it every time. So yeah, it's not only horsepower. You have to do everything right to win the epic. And even if you are the strongest on paper, that doesn't mean you win the cape. No way.
But talking about the horsepower, who are your favorites this year?
This is somebody in the room here that will be super angry if I don't mention him. No, I think for looking in my own house, I think if you look on paper, it's a good step that Martin can go with Wout.
Mm-hmm.
I think they both, Wout had the yellow jersey last year. He smelled it. That Martin smelled it with Andy. They were super close to win it till the last day. So they both have the engine to do it. So I think also it will depend a lot of the goals of the cross country teams, because there's Villiers coming with a strong team. Nino, of course, they are super strong. So for me, it's those three. So Specialized, of course, they always come up with a super strong partner for Matthew. So I think Specialized, our boys, and then Nino. No denying that Nino will be, he's always hungry to win the Cape if you don't destroy his partner. So play in a good way, yeah? Like everybody would be destroyed to go with Nino. So
definitely.
Yeah, for sure. I forget some teams as well. I think Speed Company, if they keep it together, they have the horsepower as well. So yeah, it will end up end of the week which of those teams don't make too much mistakes and keep everything together, and then I think we can expect a really really excited Cape Epic this year.
Yeah, I think definitely. This year is quite hard to predict who's a 100% favorite. I thought about it quite hard yesterday, and as you mentioned, there are so many factors. Of course, Nino will be pretty good if he does not destroy his partner, and Matthew Beers with Keegan, also pretty good. Wout with Martin, definitely, and then of course Andy and Jakob, which I also coach. Pretty interesting team, and the same with Georg, and Lukas Baum from Speed Company. If they the keep locals. It, yes, if they keep it together, and also some locals, I think this year will be very exciting, because there's no one where I really put my finger on and says, okay, this is the guy that is, this team is 100%, because. You don't know, I haven't seen, Keegan has done some smaller races, and of course he won them, but you don't know, it's a surprise. And at Mbuku Big Five race, which is usually a few weeks before the Epic, everyone is like super strong and you think, okay, well, they are all machines, but usually some of the shape is already gone from some of the riders there. So I've seen that the last 3 years. Pretty interesting this year in the men's field. And then we also have the women. Yes. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I was checking the women race a bit to see mm-hmm. who's coming. Of course, the locals, they have some strong teams. Mm-hmm. But I think there's no denying that Specialized with Annika, the GOAT, for me in marathon races, one of the best riders in the world. Together with Sofia, who already had a lot of experience in the Cape and I think also have a big engine. There's this thing with Specialized, what I've seen in the last year, they won't bring people to the Epic that cannot win the race.
Yes.
So now they bring Keegan, last year they bring Howard Grott, the year before they bring Saru, or 2 years before, I don't remember. They always bring, and they always prove it, like they almost never miss their goals and not win it. So for sure, with Annika, they are the favorites. Next to that, I think there will be quite a big gap, with a lot of respect for our girls, for Rosa and Janina that are coming. But the thing is, we bring them with the team this year for the Cape. Rosa is 22, 23 years old. She's super strong, but we bring them here just to enjoy the week with us. We go with zero expectations. So I hope they perform well. I hope they could win as well. So if it will depends on a bad luck, how they roll through the week. And I see them doing a really good job if they're enjoying themselves. They don't stress too much. They just go with it and then they will do a really good Epic. On Specialized, they won't take any rider that cannot win it. So if I have to put money, I hope, of course, I hope our girls will do a really good Epic. But it's not we won't say, oh, we don't have the intentions to win it. We're just here with them to see how the Cape Epic is, and then in the future come back to win it.
Yeah, Rosa did some really amazing races already, but Annika, I saw the results from the gravel race in Girona, and I was not surprised, but she was impressed. Yeah, she hadn't done the racing for I don't know how many years, and suddenly she's there and just like whew, winning with minutes.
She passed some of my friends. Men friends, and they were like, oh shit, this woman can ride, and we all know it.
Niklas, what's your take on the girls?
No way. I think Specialized need to win this.
It's
too crazy, because Annika had so much experience. There are a lot other pretty good girls, but I think if you have Annika in your team and Specialized with that much good logistic in South Africa and good material, that much experience, I think they are the favorites. And then the second team, I hope Buff Megamo is good. Yeah. And same for the man. I think Specialized is the team to beat with Beers and Keegan. It's crazy. And after that, Buff Megamo with Wout and Stosek. And I think Speed Company could also be good. Yeah.
Yeah. For the girls.
I get excited talking about it now. Now I want to see what's going to happen.
Maybe we should make some bets, putting in some money.
I have an expensive coach. Sorry, I can't.
Ah, okay. But it's not me.
No.
One girl team, Vera Loza with Alexis. Yeah. So Vera knows the course quite well. So let's see how she performs.
And I see in the last year, the women race, there are always some surprises, which is very, very cool.
Yeah.
Let's hope for a good race.
Yeah.
So Hans, if you had to give some tips to a newbie on the Cape Epic, so when someone does it the first time is a maybe a good mountain biker, but never did the Cape Epic. What are your five tips or three tips you give him to do it or to survive it?
Five tips, I don't know, but yeah, I think it's also, if you look to the course this year, it's important to don't shoot your bullets too fast, because if you see the last five stages this year, they are all five of them, they are like proper marathon one day races, like five in a row. So it's good to do in the beginning, right on 90%. Don't kill yourself, don't kill yourself the beginning of the week. Pace your efforts. Super basic. Then I think the days before the race are super important, because you want to be fresh, you want to be rested, because for sure your sleep's gonna go down. You will be tired. You're not hungry anymore. So if you are super fresh and ready for the race, it will help you a lot. So go to bed in time, get a bit used to the early wakes up, go to bed at 8 o'clock, because you're going to wake up every day at 5, take your rest, take some probiotica, because you pass a lot of river crossings, different kind of food, your stomach will be, it will have some tension, of course, with the different side of the world, if you're coming from Europe. And yeah, just, enjoy it. It's maybe a bit cliche or boring, but Cape Epic is a one in a lifetime experience. If you ask all mountain bikers, hey, you race, yeah, what you do? Cape Epic. This is the race everybody knows, and then if you're in it, 8 days, the time goes really, really fast. It flies by. So really try moments to enjoy it, and then a last tip, I think I'm at least more or less five now.
Yeah, that's okay.
I think the last one is that you just have a good partner, and it's easy to say, but just have somebody that you can take a lot of shit off, that you can also he have to say shit to you, and you have to say shit to him. So you have to be really trust each other as well, and don't go with somebody that you hardly know, or just go because you want to go, because then better say for another year that you can go with the guy you really want to go with, or the woman. Because it's going to be hard 8 days. I always say, in 8 days in a stage race, you get to know about the person as same as you are married for 5 years. You will go to lows together. You will, yeah. But it's really true. If you do a race like this together, you will know that you have a bond or a relationship with somebody that's really strong. So don't do it with a random guy just to do it because you want to do the Cape. Then rather wait till you find and do it with a good friend and enjoy it, and speak, like, the communication inside the race, it's the most important. Like, it's nice to destroy your partner and that you're stronger, but then if you are stronger, be smart, don't overdo it, and then maybe one day you have to hold back maybe a little bit, but by 8 days, if you don't destroy your partner the first 2 days, you will also have fun by end of the week, and just ride smart.
Yeah, and nice. The strength always shifts. Yeah, I can see that with some riders. Some days the one guy is stronger the first days, and then if he killed himself in the first three or four stages, then he really suffered a lot, and the other one is then taking over. So yeah, always keep that in mind.
Yeah, okay. It's not only inside the race, because if you take care about your partner next to the race, like, you get the coffees, you pick up the bags, you clean his bike, like this small kind of stuff, by the end of the week it makes a huge difference. Mm-hmm. So if you are the stronger one, be nice, and if you are the weaker one, just say in time that you don't overcook it. But also here, once you are cooked and your body temperature reach the limit, then it's hard to recover, and then the day is going to be very, very long and painful, and then the fun part, you lose the fun part a bit, and then it's going to be a long week.
Okay.
Perfect.
So what are your plans for the week? I saw you are in South Africa now, but not racing. So what do you do?
We already talked about that.
Oh, sorry.
No, just the summer race, and I'm going to support the girls, and we're going to do a lot of cool stuff. Okay. The social media gets super important nowadays, and we're working hard on that, and I find out that a lot of people want to see more behind the scenes stuff. So What does the media team here? How long do day days last? What they do? What does the riders do in the afternoon when there's no camera? So, and I have my connections everywhere, and I can. Hey, the doors are always open, so I can. Nice. I want to show also this for everybody that to see behind the scenes what's going on. And but most of all, I'm gonna train. I want to see the race in the morning, and then Bjorn will still make me a good plan, and then we try to build the shape and. That is not over for me yet.
No. Nice. No, absolutely not. Next year we will win.
That's the plan, eh?
That's the plan, yeah.
All right.
Okay. I have no more questions. Niklas?
No.
Hans, thanks a lot for your time. Enjoy the heat. We, of course, stay in contact the whole time. We talk tomorrow, I think, or you write me a message after the Songo race. And enjoy the week or the days now in South Africa.
I will. Thanks for having me, and I hope it helps.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.